The time has come for our speaker, Debbie Dooley. I have known Debbie for 4 years from the Global Conference.
2003.
We've been in this together for a long time on a lot of common issues. Debbie has been interviewed on CNN. She is an activist. I've been a Madison, long time Madison Forum member. I have a lot of respect for Debbie. And she's going to talk about who's in control. Who controls us? Politicians? Or we control the politicians. And she's going to talk about other things. And we're so very glad that she's here this morning.
Thank you, Michael. I'm going to take a speaker's privilege and put my two cents in on some of the things that I've heard discussed. Number one, with the Fed money and what Cobb is doing. Federal money always comes with strings attached, as we're seeing with Joe Biden, Dementia Jones, the occupant of the White House, his executive order about the COVID vaccines. And that it always comes with strings attached. It's okay if you want to accept federal money, as long as the county determines where this money goes to, as long as they are the ones that are still in charge and not give up their power base. If it were me, I would strongly oppose that HUD money in Cobb County. Very strongly. I heard someone talk about Afghan refugees. How many read the news this morning when I got up? I'm on Twitter, which I'm at Crimson Tider on Twitter. Yeah, I'm an Alabama alumni, so. But don't hold that against me. Roll Tide, I'll see her. And I looked on Twitter, and there is an alert at shopping malls and shopping areas in the Virginia, Washington, D.C. area from ISIS. And word is that the alert is coming from some of the Afghan refugees that came over that they found out was ISIS, part of ISIS. So this is related to the Afghan refugees that still came over. I had a good friend. She's in Alabama now. She used to live in Mableton. And she was a contractor for NSA or one of those defense agencies, actually in Afghanistan. And she said that they happened to come across an airport hangar that was full of passports, forged, fake passports. She said there is no way to verify who they really are. Now, if there's a way somebody had a personal relationship with them that saved their lives and things like that, that's different. But that's not what Joe Biden is doing. She told me that she had Afghan working for her for almost a year. Everybody trusted him. And then one day, he came in and just threw a hand grenade in. Nobody was hurt. But she said that's why, with as many are coming in, you can't possibly screen them. So that's my two cents. And I've known Michael since 2003. I see Conrad. We go way back to you, Conrad. 2009, 2010. And I have a lot of friends in this room. And I'm going to tell you one thing at the beginning. And if you don't remember anything else I say, I want you to remember this phrase and let it guide you when you're dealing with elected officials. If you can't make them see the light, make them feel the political heat. That is true. We are in control. They work for us. We don't work for them. Michael and I go way back. I actually used to live in Cobb County. And it's right after Sonny Perdue was elected in 2003. We had a precinct organization and elect new officers in Cobb County. And Michael and I were part of a coalition that we worked hard. And we actually took control of the Cobb Republican Party from the establishment Republicans. And that is something that we did. every office, every district chairman, every officer on the Cobb Executive Committee, they were our folks. And you want to know how we did that?
Yes.
You control the mass meetings, the mass precincts. The way the Georgia Republican Party works is they have, for counties over 80,000, you have a mass meeting. It's usually February or March. You go there and you elect precinct captains or precinct chairman, and then you elect delegates to the county convention. At the county convention, you elect officers, and you elect delegates to the district and state conventions where you elect officers. If you turn your people out at that mass meeting, that first meeting, and you organize, you can control things from top to bottom. That is exactly how we did it. And we were successful. Cobb's got a great chairman, have a great bunch of folks working for them. Salia Grubbs, Sally Grubbs is a very good friend of mine. Cherokee County's got a good chairman, Jordan Ridley. I talked to Jordan and I text quite often. How many in this room actually believe, who I'm going to see folks give suggestion, what is the most powerful group under the GOGO now? Anybody?
Chambers.
Who?
The Chamber.
Exactly. Give you a cigar. You want to know why Brian Kemp refused to call a special session to investigate election fraud? Because the Chamber of Commerce told him not to. You want to know why he did not include on his proclamation for a special session a statewide forensic audit? Because the Chamber of Commerce, they are the most powerful people under the gold dome. And that's who our true adversaries are when we're trying to deal and get elected officials to do the right thing. That is the Chamber of Commerce. So be wary when you see a candidate that's running for office and he touts, "Oh, I've got the support of the Chamber of Commerce." Run away from them, because I've seen the Chamber firsthand. And I can tell you, there are some good, some of the local chambers are good, but some of them are not. They control the school boards. They have their tentacles in everything because they have money. When your elected official look at a chamber member, they see dollar signs, and that's what's going on. I can tell you that there are a lot of good folks that are fighting. And one of the things I really prefer this not get around, but I guess this is going to be public. I was active.
Yeah, you're being videotaped.
I know, that's fine. I'm just saying that, being facetious. But when I started off in politics in 1976, my political mentor was part of the Bush, the Bush side of the Republican Party. The Bush cabal is what I call it, establishment wing. I know how they operate. I've watched it firsthand for like 15 years. One of the things they do is it's kind of like Mitch McConnell said about the Tea Party, when he said we're just going to pop them in the nose and they'll go away, something to that effect. Well, we didn't go away. But that's what they think. They think if we can lose, if they can force us to lose several battles, we'll get disgusted and just walk away and don't leave them alone. That's the last thing we should be doing. We're going to stay in and we're going to fight. It's like we're fighting this election fraud. How many believe the election was stolen? Please raise your hand. How many do not believe it was stolen? Well, you're brave if somebody raises their hand. But this is the thing. We have folks actually fighting strong against election fraud, and they were last year. Governor Kemp, under the Georgia Constitution, and I will freely tell you now that Governor Kemp doesn't have the power of executive orders that Governor DeSantis in Florida does. The governors don't all have the same when it comes to executive orders. But Georgia's governor can call, under the Georgia Constitution, can call a special session, and all he has to do is issue a proclamation and list the subject matter that will be addressed in the special session. That's all he has to do. Does not require the approval of the Georgia legislature. As long as the governor does that. Any time before the special session convenes, the governor can amend his proclamation and add other subjects. After the special session convenes, if he wants to amend it, it requires 3/5 majority in each house. And we have been working very, very strongly to try to encourage. There have been phone calls. We were thinking about holding a giant protest to get Governor Kemp to actually add a statewide forensic audit and just call for the special session. He's refused to do so. So what we're doing is that we're going to be at the Georgia Capitol, and it's just a handful of us on, I think it's 6 days that they're in session. There's a big rally on November 3rd, starts at 8:30, that's Vernon Jones, but I'm also organizing some on the 8th, the 10th, the 15th, and the 18th. And if they extend the session, we'll be meeting the Monday and Thursday of each of those days. And we're going to stand out there with flags and signs and demand that they do a statewide forensic audit. Governor Kemp, had he done this, called a special session to investigate election fraud, the fraud that's being uncovered now would have been found then. They could have acted upon it. Other states would have followed, and we would not have Dementia Joe as a figurehead in the White House now. And we, the people, will never stop fighting to uncover election fraud. They work for us. We don't work for them. The bottom line is, you have to be willing to stand up and stand up and fight them and be like the Terminator. You keep going and going and going, and you keep going back and you keep going back until you win. And if they don't, the best way to really make them feel the heat is to defeat them when they're up for re-election. That is the main thing you can do. If you think Brian Kemp is not feeling the heat now, You're mistaken, because I promise he is. But we have to stand and be willing to fight. We have to be organized. We need to start organizing next year for 2023, because the Georgia GOP reorganizes itself in 2023. So you're going to elect new officers from the bottom up. The key is controlling the precinct. We have to focus on 2022. And making sure that people that believe in our values, that are Trump Republicans, are elected. And we have to stand up and be willing to fight. To fight the establishment. The establishment of elitists. The future of our country is at stake. And because of inaction of the establishment, we have Joe Biden in the White House. The Democrats control the Senate. And look at the bad policies they're pushing through. We need people with backbones that are in office. And I encourage you very strongly, do not be discouraged. Establishment elected officials think that they're better than you, and they may talk down to you or just give you a shucking job, or they're just telling you anything to get you away. You have to hold them accountable. And one way you can hold them accountable is contact them. And I've witnessed it firsthand when I was delivering thank you cards to elected officials after they passed SB202, which is the Election Security and Integrity Bill. And they were just, you know, thrilled to get them. If you want to have an impact, have a right handwritten letters and put a stamp on it and either put it in the mail or you drop it by their office. If you're going to be at the Capitol, drop it by with their secretary. Put your contact information on there. Handwritten letters gets their attention more than emails or anything else. If you see somebody that says, hey, send out an email, you know, they can tell the pre-filled out emails and they don't pay that much attention to it. They're good because they allow you to contact them, but they know this is they call it a form email. But if you handwrite a letter and send it to their address, that will be much more successful. You can do, Michael's doing a great job. You do what you're doing now, show up. But I promise we hold the power. The power's with the people. Thomas Jefferson is one of my favorite founding fathers. He once said, when people fear their government, there is tyranny. When government fears their people, there is liberty. And we have liberty, and we should not, go ahead, we should not stop until we have that back. And look at what Joe Biden's doing with his executive orders. Now, as far as the COVID vaccine, that should be everybody's choice. COVID vaccine or a mask, it should be up to you. It should be up to you to decide if you want to take the vaccine or not. I made the decision to take the vaccine only because I thought, you know, they would prohibit me from flying on a, you know, plane if they did. And I've never had adverse reactions from flu shot, but I encouraged my daughter to. She did not, and I encouraged her to make her own decision. The government nor anyone else should make that decision for you. That should be up to you. And if you think we're not headed towards a nanny state, you are mistaken. You are very much mistaken. I don't know who's really in charge at the White House, but it's not Joe Biden. I mean, my dad had Alzheimer's, and he passed away in 2018, so I know the beginning stages. It's nefarious. They got away with stealing the election. And when you hear elected officials' establishment saying, oh, well, we don't need to look back. We just need to look forward. Okay? Well, I'm sorry. That's like telling someone that's a bank robber that just got robbed a bank, hey, we're not going to put you in jail or do anything with you as long as you promise not to do it again. And we're not. They know we're not. And I can tell you, Marjorie Taylor Greene commissioned a poll, and the poll found that 2% of folks in her district, Republicans, would not turn out for the general election unless something were done. That's how disgusted people are. But what I say is if you don't feel at home, turn out and vote. You don't like the Republican nominee, vote Libertarian or write-in. But go out and vote for the other offices. You need to turn out and vote. And I have a sneaky, you know, call it women's intuition, but I don't see Governor Kemp heading up the Republican ticket in 2022. I really want to dunk Kemp. Woo! Raise your hand if you want to dunk Kemp. Let's hear a dunk Kemp, dunk Kemp, dunk Kemp.
Dunk Kemp, dunk Kemp.
Yes, okay? If we don't, he will take down the entire Republican ticket. That's why you see somebody like David Perdue, you know, possibly stepping to the plate to take, you know, somebody like David Perdue, a senator, Vernon Jones, I love Vernon Jones. I mean, that's my guy. I love Vernon Jones. But it's anybody but him. And Vernon's stepping to the plate. And he's doing a great job. I really like him a lot. But when you see David Perdue stepping out and saying, yeah, I'm thinking about running, that's a sign that these establishment Republicans that we're being effective. If they're getting ready to dump the Republican governor, incumbent Republican governor. How many were at the Georgia GOP chairman's dinner in Buckhead Thursday night? Have I I was there. Somebody had a seat at the table. During the meeting, Kevin McCarthy could not come because they had to go to Washington, D.C., stay in Washington, D.C., and fight Nancy Pelosi's latest socialism bill. But they did video. As our delegation, Kevin McCarthy, they all spoke, the Republican delegation from Georgia, and there were other speakers. Not one time. And Sonny Perdue spoke, David Perdue was there, Vernon Jones was there. I did not see Burt Jones, but I saw some other folks there. Not one time did I hear Brian Kemp's name mentioned. Not one time did I hear a speaker get up and say, "We must reelect Brian Kemp." Not one time. And that's because of our work showing and standing strong and not being assimilated by the Kemp machine is working. They understand. One of their, like, politicians a lot of times are like teenagers. How many have had teenagers? Okay, well, you know what I'm talking about. When teenagers are on the wrong path, you can talk to them all you want to, but the only thing that will change their direction is when they begin to feel the pain. Once they begin to feel the pain and discomfort, they change their course. Well, the powers that be and a lot of the elected officials in the state are finally realizing, you know what? The grassroots are not going to forget about the stolen election. History will repeat itself before we can move on to 2022. We need to make sure that we find out what happened in 2021 so it will never, ever happen again. And it will never happen in 2022. SB 202 goes a long way. Now, in Georgia, I can tell you since March of 2020, I have been calling out Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger. I call it Raffensperger, but I warned in March of 2020 when he had a plan to send out absentee ballot applications to 6.9 million registered voters for the primary, what would happen. I sent out email after email after email, and his office was flooded with phone calls, and everybody was calling him so much that Brad actually started calling some county chairmen and saying, "Debbie Dooley is going after me. Can't you do something about her?" And I had a friend that told him, he said, "You clearly don't know Debbie Dooley if you think she can be stopped." But that's what we have to do. And that's what happened. And sending those 6.9 million applications out allowed the Democrats to fine-tune what they were doing. It allowed them to do a test run of the election still for the general election. Here's something else it allowed. If you look at the bottom of the absentee ballot application, there's a check mark. If you're over 65, absentee ballots for the rest of that cycle will be automatically mailed to you without you having to request it. And that includes the general election and the general election runoff. How many people that checked that could have moved away or died in between that time? But I can tell you, I'd love for the Dominion machines to go away. Definitely. But I'm going to tell you the biggest problem in Georgia, and I witnessed it firsthand, is with the absentee ballot mail-ins and with the drop boxes. And when you have the head of the GBI that was appointed by Brian Kemp, look at evidence. If he says, "We don't have probable cause," I don't know what he wants. Does he want the person to come up and say, "Hey, I did this," because they had video of ballots, multiple ballots being it put in drop boxes by one person would just take in and drop a book bag full of ballots. They had that. Multiple folks did that. They had the GPS from the cell phones to know that these people were going from drop box to drop box to drop box all on the same night. You had the chain of custody that was missing from the Fulton County drop boxes. And yet, the head of the Vic Reynolds, and I know he used to be in Cobb, but I mean, this guy, he endorsed Brian Kemp in the primary, and Brian Kemp appointed him as the GBI. I am not the least bit surprised he turned it down and decided not to investigate. But I'm not sure what he wants, but you know, I fully believe from what I've witnessed and with the fact David Perdue is thinking about getting in, they're hearing us. And they're hearing us because we've stayed on message and because we're angry, because we're forceful, and we are saying we will not forget what happened in 2021. And do not tell us to look forward to 2022 and forget about 2021. Now, we do need to look forward to 2022. But, you know, we can look back, correct mistakes, have one eye looking at 2021, the other eye looking at 2022. Don't let them tell you, because from what I have seen the past month and what I am hearing, they are afraid. And when they're afraid, they listen to you. My political mentor told me, she said, there are two things that will get an elected official's attention. Money, you say Chamber of Commerce, and anger. We don't have money, but we have anger. And I want to thank you for being here, and I'll take some questions, if it's okay with Michael. Any questions, I want you to get on my email list. Michael can send you my email. It's Debbie@MainStreetPatriots.us. And thank you for allowing me to be here.
Debbie, we really appreciate it. Something I neglected to tell all of you. Debbie is not just a voice. She created the Georgia Tea Party, and she was instrumental in moving the Tea Party organization and message nationwide. She is a doer. She has the experience, and you can tell by her history and the way she has spoken to us this morning and what she is doing. She doesn't intimidate very easily.
No. And I can tell you, this is what the county parties have done to get the message across. The resolutions. Some of you passed resolutions calling for forensic audit. Some of you during the county conventions, there was like 18 counties during the county conventions that passed resolutions censoring Kemp, Duncan, and Raffensperger. That had an impact. That is an example of we the people taking our power back. Cobb and Cherokee both passed resolutions calling for forensic audit. And I happen to know for a fact that Governor Kemp's folks actually reached out to county parties and encouraged them not to talk about a statewide forensic audit. They didn't want us to mention it. So we are ignoring them, and we are realizing we have the power. We have to be willing to take it and keep it.
When we go through Madison Forum mini dialogues, it's only Madison Forum members who are permitted to engage in that dialogue. And just to restate, we do not argue with the speaker. We do not debate the speaker. That's any of our speakers. And we do not back the speakers into a corner. What we like to have is an intelligent, informative discussion, and there can be a couple of rounds back and forth, only on the same subject that you open with. It's not free grazing. Okay, now some board members understand that, but I like to repeat it just to make sure everybody's current with it. So now we're open for questions. Leroy, and by the way, Leroy is the Madison Forum website editor. So all the emails that you send to him, hopefully writing articles, that goes to Leroy. He approves it. If he approves it, it's posted on the Madison Forum website, and then it's available for comments. So please go to the website often. We're expanding our scope,
and we're getting more involved, and we appreciate Leroy's participation. Yes, Leroy.
It's beyond me to understand some of the negative comments that have come back from many Republicans in Cobb County criticizing the resolutions that said that Governor Kemp should be censured. The Cobb GOP Resolutions Committee did not say that Cobb County censures him, but that he should be censured. And two other resolutions that were passed, quite critical resolutions of what's going on in the legislature and the Republican body of the state. And many people have come back and said, why are you upsetting the car? Why are you doing this to make our Republican colleagues at the state level angry at us? Why don't you wait until the elections begin? Is this what holding public officials accountable means? You vote. They have promises about what they're going to do once they take office. And then they don't follow those promises. They don't adhere to those promises. And we have to wait until 4 years when the next election comes along. Holding public officials accountable means doing it every single day.
Amen.
Amen. And this is something, this is why I think a lot of these resolutions let a lot of grassroots and people that are just Republican voters that aren't engaged. You have to understand, from what I've seen on social media and some of these other places, they equate the Republican Party, all the Republican Party, to the actions Brian Kemp and Jeff Duncan and Brad Raffensperger. And I told more than one person, the people in Georgia, the people control the Republican Party. We're the Republican Party, not the elected officials. And when they see Republican parties taking action by passing these resolutions, that is going to help keep those voters in the fold that may be turned away. And just for the record, I love healthy debate. When I was in the seventh grade, I debated my science teacher over the theory of evolution. He believed in it, I didn't, and I got an A. It was a special project. So
when is the last time we heard Republicans in our state legislature expressing fear and anger, except at the time when it comes to elections? They are now doing that. They are upset. And why are they upset? Because at least the Cobb County GOP issued resolutions that made them upset. It proved to them that we're going to hold them accountable every single day. And we became a role model. I believe Cobb GOP became a role model for other county GOPs across this state. Have courage. Do the same thing. I know Sally Grubbs is talking to other county GOP chairs and encouraging them and their committees to do exactly the same thing. Hold these damn lifetime politicians accountable every single day. The more angry they get, the more they, and what I don't understand is how some Republicans are coming back and asking the question, why are you doing this? We're doing this exactly for this purpose. To make them angry, to make them believe that they're going to be held accountable again every single day.
Now, I want to appoint and recognize Leroy and Hugh Norris. Both are on the Cobb County Resolutions Committee.
Hey, Hugh.
And they have just done an outstanding job. I'm privileged to be the chair of that committee. Yes.
And there's been eight other counties that have reached out to me that passed similar resolutions since Cobb. And more are passed.
8 out of 100 plus.
Yes, 159.
Hi, I just want to say I appreciate you. I don't necessarily agree with every candidate you've mentioned, but that doesn't matter. You're doing the right thing. You're standing for truth. The Lord gives the word. The Lord gives the word. The woman who bear and publish are a great host. Psalm 68:11. Thank you. I want you all to know, I went to Hillsdale Conference this past week. It was about education, right on target with politics, even though we didn't talk necessarily about politics, but how the foundation of learning is influence as everything. And if we knock God out, we're knocking out everything too. So we need to always go with the most ultimate truth that we can, and people who pursue it need to be praised. Hillsdale, the motto of their school, I thought is perfect. Strength rejoices in the challenge. This is what we're doing. This is what we're doing. I have a question. I had an 80-year-old woman who was crying to me because she feels like her vote does not count. Any advice? Because I felt like I could not give her any advice.
I would tell folks that do that, you let her know that that's what the establishment wants her to think. And if folks are afraid to vote on Dominion voting machines, tell them to get a request an absentee ballot. She'll get a paper ballot and mail it in or drop it in. Your vote does count. You get out. How many remember the Iraqi first election with the purple fingers? Okay. They were willing to risk their lives to cast a vote. Her vote does count. Do you know when JFK, John Kennedy, was elected, had there been one vote change per precinct in Illinois, he would not have been elected president. So don't let anyone tell you one vote doesn't matter. There's been elections won and lost by one vote. Yes, sir. Yes.
I just want to say that I agree with both Debbie and Leroy. Not only do we need to hold our elected officials accountable, you need to tell them what to do. If anyone who gets my emails, at the end of every single email, I give the phone numbers of our elected officials. And I say, with few exceptions, Republicans in Washington are too stupid to explain their positions and too cowardly to defend them. So you need to call them and call them off and here are their numbers. And the thing is, they have a much bigger platform than we do. I mean, I can go out on a corner and say something, but if Barry Loudermill has a press conference and says the same thing, it gets more attention. So we need to get our officials to say what we want them to say and keep pressure on them. One last thing, I was at a seminar, a CRT seminar, just recently. One of the speakers made a great comment. He said, the founding fathers fought to establish this country. The country is now in such a state, we have to fight to save it.
I agree. That's very good.
Jim?
Quickly, Debbie, I'm sure you're right. Somebody's terrorist watch list. I'll call him Ratchenberger. We only find out Conrad and I were at breakfast yesterday with David Belle Isle. They sent those out first class mail, which is problematic because they get forwarded. They went all over the world. People didn't live there any longer, got them. Guess what? They probably stole the money. And my point is, we got to stop this Democrat and Republican stuff.
Yeah.
Go to ideologies. Phil from the Georgia gang, Phil Kent.
Yes. Yeah.
Years ago, I said, you think Trump is a Republican? He's a pragmatist. He hasn't any party affiliation. This is what the resolutions are. We got to pick people who are going to do the right stuff pragmatically. I call them problem solvers, not problem creators. And that's the problem. People got to stop voting for R&Ds. Like Michael said, David Scott is probably a pragmatic Democrat. He lives in a very Democratic district. He has to do what those people think he's got to do. You become something other than you really are. So all I'm saying is, make sure we pick people who we know. And I think Michael said, we know who they are, not what they say they are.
This is Michael.
Yes. First of all, Debbie, thank you for your leadership. And take good heart in the truism that you expressed.
Speak up, Michael.
Could you confirm that what I understand there's been a change in the recall rules. The threshold has been reduced because of COVID. And I think for some of the folks that just don't get the message, we need to know that there's another hammer in the shoebox.
Well, and this is my thing with recall. If Georgia's recall laws were like California's, where you just have to have a required number of signatures, I'm all on board, but this is why I did not. I actually had an attorney look at the Georgia recall laws like in February, first of February. And under the Georgia recall law, it's not enough to gather signatures. You have to actually have cause. They've got to be, you've got to prove malfeasance, dereliction of duty, and things like that. You've got to prove it to a judge in Fulton County, because the minute a recall petition is filed, you can bet Raffensperger is going to challenge it, and let's see what happens. I think they're good, though. They're still good. I think we, you know, focus needs to be on, like, passing these resolutions, sending them in, and organizing to take out these elected officials. And when you do those recall petitions, this is something that's very beneficial, because you've got all these people who have signed this, and you've got their contact, so that's your grassroots army to help you get better. I would be all aboard. I think people who recall doing a great thing. They're collecting data, things like that. But I don't, you know, for a statewide recall, as I said, keep in mind Georgia's recall laws were written by elected officials that wanted to make it harder to recall them. And that's what they have. You have to have cause to recall them, not you don't think they're doing a good job. And that's something that's why I've never really started a recall, even though I talked about it. But I think I applaud folks that are doing it, because they're collecting data that we can use in 2022. And I applaud them for doing that. Do I think they'll be successful? No, but you never know. So keep out there and keep trying.
Any other questions? Yes, sir.
You had talked about Governor Kemp being so tied to the Chamber of Commerce. And so, Governor Kemp is good at the state event.
Yes.
He's good at many, many different things. People have been walking out on him. He's getting a lot of questions right now. Why is it that all you have to do, you have to know that he needs to provide for or not? Why would he not do that? Why would the chamber still be stronger? But he's not going to get elected. He has to know he's not going to get elected unless he doesn't.
But you have to understand that when you're governor, okay, you've got some key advisors around you, and many of these key advisors don't tell you the truth. They tell you what you want to hear.
And no, that's stupid.
I'm telling you, he is so arrogant. I promise he doesn't know it. Every time I send out an email, he's one of the first ones that opens my email. I promise he doesn't like being booed. He doesn't like these resolutions. That's why he got Jason Shepherd in Cobb County, who is a Kemp flunky, to stand up and condemn it. Well, I have a news flash for Jason Shepherd. I can remember under the Sonny Perdue, under his administration, county parties passed resolutions against him because he refused to allow people in Georgia to vote on what they wanted their state flag to be. Did Sonny Perdue take time and try to fight it? No, he ignored it. Same thing with Nathan Deal. County parties passed resolutions censoring Nathan Deal because he vetoed the religious liberty bill. Did anybody fight that? No. Nobody said a word. Jason Shepherd was around during all this. He has not raised until the censors against Deal and Raffensperger. Not said one word about it. But it's because times have changed. And we're being affected. Not we, you guys. The grassroots working, holding these elected officials accountable for being affected. There's a lot of times, it's like you see a duck on a pond. and you think that's your elected official, and they're so calm, and you think, oh, they're not afraid of me. But if you look under the surface, that duck's paddling very, very fiercely to stay on top. And that's a lot of times is what average folks don't see that I see because I hear about a lot of stuff that's going on. But you need to join. If you're not a member of Medicine Forum, join. Because I can tell you, this group is a great group, and they keep you informed. And never, ever stop fighting. Never give up.
I've had some real reservations about hearing this. We're the best state in the country to do business. And over the last 3 or 4 years, I've grown to feel like that's right on my back. So would you expound upon that a little bit for me?
Oh, I'd be happy to. That's a pet peeve of mine. It's because we bribe corporations with tax credits to come to Georgia because of jobs. The thing about it is that the state government, the local governments, never follow up to see if these companies are keeping their promises to get their tax credits. And just keep in mind that they're taking money from school tax, so that means you have to pay more in property tax. And look at what's happened. Look how drastically Georgia has changed when we started giving all these tax credits to Hollywood and film producers. Okay, what did we expect would happen? Okay, you're bringing people in from Hollywood and Georgia for jobs because you're giving them tax money to actually come here. And while we're at it, one legislation I would like to see passed is legislation passed saying that there will be no public funding to sports stadiums.
Yeah.
I was on that, and God bless the Atlanta Braves. I'm glad they're doing good, but I fought long and hard against them, the taxpayers, funding the stadium and moving it to Cobb County. We have to stand up. Enough is enough.
Some of you may recall that controversy in which the Cobb County Commission again struck once more.
Republicans!
Under Tim Lee.
Yep.
Where they approved the funding of a bond for over $100 million?
Yeah.
$300 million. They approved that, the Cobb County Commission. If you go to the state constitution, it states that any money, any bonds approved must be subject to ratification by the citizens of that county. The Cobb County Committee ignored that. The Cobb County Commission ignored that under Tim Lee. And there were 3 or 4 people, at least 2 of them Medicine Forum members, one of them who was not an attorney, Larry Savage, argued before the Georgia Supreme Court. And it's very simple. There are only 1 or 2 lines in the state constitution. For a bond issue, it has to be ratified by the citizens of that county. It was not ratified. It was illegal. And the Georgia State Supreme Court unanimously ruled against the state constitution and approved that bond issue by the Cobb County Commissioners. And that set the stage for all the county commissions across the state to do the same thing in opposition to the state constitution. You can go read that article. I can't recall the exact one, but it doesn't take long to read it. You see, that's how corrupt Georgia is.
And it's not Democrats. In Georgia, it's usually the people that are in control. Well, it's been Republicans that have been in control and have allowed all of this. Like, I oppose the public funding. The Falcons, but mostly the Falcons as well. Because the people in Vine City and some of these other areas were saying, they're going to demolish our homes. We don't want it here. So it's actually Tea Party folks, other conservative folks, joined forces with the NAACP, and we all came and worked together in opposition to it. They did not listen.
because it's all about the money. It's all about the Chamber of Commerce and see what they're doing. That's what it's all about. I'm going to give you guys my cell phone number, and I want you to text me if you want to get on my email list. And anybody that receives my email list will tell you. I send out great emails, but I don't pull punches, so beware. It's 678-761-6725. And I'm proud of some of the, we have seen the past few months which county party leadership are willing to stand up for what's right. And, you know, Cherokee County, I can't tell you since COVID, it was just like opening the door. After 17 county conventions passed resolutions censoring Kemp, Duncan, and Raffensperger. Duncan decided not to seek re-election. Because of that, we're standing up, we booed Kemp at the state convention. It's like a great awakening. Last year, I hated what happened. But God's in control. And it's like I've seen a great awakening has happened. People are getting off the couch. They're being active, and they're staying active. The tide is turning. I mean, who would have thought you have rap songs that, you know, with a subject,
let's go Brandon.
Let's go Brandon. And then they say, you know, FYB. I mean, FJB. Everybody knows what that is. On college campuses.
Yes.
College campuses. Okay? And you think that the young people... you know, you want to be afraid because they're all so liberal. These young people at these college football games are chanting FJB. That's young people. And it all has to do with tyranny in regard to the vaccine and the mask. So, you know, a great awakening is taking place in this country, and I think we're going to see a big change next year.
And we are part of that great awakening because we're not afraid to speak the truth. We have to speak the truth.
No matter how hurtful it may be to Republicans or Republican elected officials, it's not their party, it's our party.
Yes, Leroy, you had a
quick question to Debbie.
Yes, sir.
I heard Professor John Eastman, the constitutional attorney, who gave a statement regarding voter fraud in the state. I thought he had said that the state legislature in the state of Georgia only needed a majority vote to call a special session.
Two-thirds.
I'm not sure. I think he was going by the U.S. Constitution and not the Georgia Constitution.
I think the Georgia, I meant the U.S. Constitution. The state legislature calls special session just for the majority vote by the United States.
And it does say that, but they did not, you know, they came back and they said, oh, yeah, but our supersedes that.
It doesn't. It's the U.S. Constitution.
I agree.
Supersedes the state constitution. So why did my state legislature not do that?
Cowardice. That's why they did not. I agree with you. It should have been done. There were so many things that should have been done. And, you know, when I was going after Brad Raffensperger, okay, Raffensperger, about the absentee ballot request, there is only one of the state leaders that stood up and tried to fight what he was doing. It wasn't Jeff Duncan, it wasn't Brian Kemp, it was David Ralston, of all people, stood up and he said, no, we can't do this, and he fought him tooth and nail on that. He was the only one that stood up and said, we can't do this. And he tried to fight it. And even on this, Duncan and Kemp, and even Chris Carr, you know, look at the settlement agreement that Chris Carr and Brian, there's a reason Brian Kemp wanted them to settle, you know, settle the lawsuit.
Stacey Abrams, because the lawsuit covered part of the time he was Secretary of State, and had that lawsuit gone forward during disclosure, documents could have been subpoenaed that he maybe did not want to get out.
Yes.
I wanted to say that the answer to your question is there were all six Georgia senators that were willing to do that special session. It's led by Brandon Beach. My senator, Bruce Thompson, was just AWOL. I could not get him to respond to me and desire me to get him to go down there for a special session. So I'm not in favor of him being way longer because he did not represent my interest in that extension.
Jim, we have time for one more comment.
I'm with you. You got to take back the country. The socialists are not going to give it to you.
Right.
Right there. Another thing, we all need to thank Mitch McConnell for never putting America's Garland on his
arm. If that's one thing we can thank him for, we can certainly give thanks for that.
Other than Addie Carson.
And recognition. The Madison Forum takes great pride. We start on time and we end on time and pay a commitment to the owner of this establishment, Ralph, that we would end no later than 1 o'clock. And it's 1:03, so that gives us time for one more question and comment. Yes, Jim.
I have one more. You said you haven't been to meet about the year thing.
Oh, I have a pet peeve about watching. Make no mistake, I have a pet peeve about corporate wealth. That the taxpayers don't decide.
Well, my question is related to what we've been circling our wagons about. And it's the fact that we don't have anybody writing good law in Georgia and haven't had for years. I'd like to know what you know about how many lawyers are down there in the Gold Dome.
There's far too many lawyers. Now, I will say, not very many.
That's right, about that
many. And this is the thing. We've had good people writing laws that don't get anywhere. So it's not like good laws are not being written. They just don't get out of committee. But that, the way that the little, you have to watch and see the little tricks they use. If legislative leadership, let's say House Member A, that's a very good constitutional conservative, introduces legislation that the grassroots will get behind, and leadership in the Chamber of Commerce that we really don't want it going anywhere, okay? But we don't want our members to have to vote against it. So you know what happens? It gets assigned to a committee that's going to be an unfavorable committee, and it never passes out of committee. Okay, I think every piece of legislation that's filed, if they get so many people that want to vote on it, the majority of the caucus or even 40% of the caucus, it should be going to the floor for a vote. But they keep it, they kill good legislation in committee. And G. Knox, how many know who Butch Miller is? All the shenanigans I'm talking about. Oh, this guy is knee-deep in a lot of this stuff that's going on. It's Butch Miller. Make no mistake.
Debbie, we really appreciate your being here this morning.
It's a pleasure.
You've been a long time out for 7 years. And we're going to keep so important.
It is so important. What you're doing here is vital.
And I want to reemphasize, everyone, please go to the Madison Forum website, www.madisonforum.org, and write insightful articles. It's very important. And do it in MS Word, 14-point type, Times New Roman, and send it to Leroy. All right, these should be thoughtful, insightful articles, not... And read some of the other letters that we have. It needs to be in that kind of context. And then for those of you who don't want to write an article, go to the website and see the articles that are up there, and then make a comment so other people can hear your words. And that's another way of getting out the message. We are expanding the Madison Forum website reach across the nation. We've got an author, Foster Woolbridge, who lives in Golden, Colorado. And he writes on a regular basis. Very good, insightful articles. Please go and read them. and then make your own contribution.
That word is cycle. It's spelled both ways.
I know. I was thinking the same thing.
You know, it's cycle. S-I-G-H-T and S-I-T-E.
I thought the same thing. I said, yeah, we need kind of
cycle. Yes, briefly. Real fast. He'll be passing out the information out the door as you leave. Thank you all very much, and we appreciate Ted Betts for filming this. Ted does a great job. All Madison Forum folks who volunteer, none of us are paid. Okay, so just know, none of us are paid. We're all volunteers, and we appreciate everyone. Thank you very much for